WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Steve Burns. Former colleagues of Dr. Henry Bello at Bronx Lebanon Hospital say he was a problem from the start, calling him aggressive and threatening. He resigned in lieu of being fired 2 years ago after sexual harassment allegations surfaced. He returned to the hospital yesterday, killing one doctor, wounding six others.
The staff at Bronx Lebanon Hospital was immediately told to shelter in place after the shooting started. Gary Trimble's fiance called him as she barricaded herself in a room.
I told him to just lay low and just be quiet and don't say nothing.
A former employee snuck a weapon into the hospital beneath a lab coat and made his way to the upper floors. Police Commissioner James O'Neill.
Several people have been shot on the 16th and 17th floors by a lone gunman armed with an assault rifle.
The gunman then turned the rifle on himself after initially trying to set himself on fire. He was identified as Henry Bello, a former doctor at Bronx Lebanon who had been fired. Steve Kastenbaum in the Bronx, New York.
It was a week ago now that photos and videos surfaced once again of huge groups of dirt bike and ATV riders taking over roads in the district in Prince George's County. Police say they will not chase them, adding to the reckless behavior, but we now see how they are fighting back by releasing photos and asking for the public's help. D.C. police has released about 60 photos of people they say were on the road last weekend. They say they've already arrested 21 allegedly involved in illegal rides this year. It'll be a busy weekend for the D.C. Fire Department.
Around the 4th of July, we have approximately 18,000 calls that we respond to. Of that, 1,300 are accidents that happen to structural. We have about 300 car fires, and 17,000 of our calls are outside in other places.
Fire Chief Greg Dean there says legal fireworks should be used. When they are, keep them out of the hands of kids. While senators have begun their 4th of July holiday break, the effort to break the health care logjam continues.
Senate Republicans continue to try to find the legislative sweet spot that will enable them to move forward with a plan to repeal and replace the health care law. President Trump threw a variable into the mix by tweeting that if they can't pass what they're working on now, they should immediately repeal the law, then replace it down the road. Though some like the idea, it has been rejected in the past. Republicans concerned they'd be charged with getting rid of people's coverage. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
Some of the country's most populous states, like California and New York, are refusing to comply with a request from President Trump's Commission on Election Integrity. It's looking for detailed information about every voter in the U.S., from addresses to voting histories to partial Social Security numbers. Both the district and Virginia say they won't be complying either. Even some conservative states that voted for Trump, like Texas, say they can provide only partial responses based on what's legally allowed under state law. In Mississippi, the Secretary of State there says, quote, they can go jump in the Gulf of Mexico. It's not clear what the commission will do with the information it does get. A Libertarian Party candidate for governor in Virginia is qualified to be on the ballot for November's general election.
34-year-old Cliff Hyra will join Democratic nominee Ralph Northam and Republican nominee Ed Gillespie on the November 7th ballot. The Virginia Department of Elections confirmed that Hyra had qualified following the submission of petitions bearing more than 10,000 signatures. Hyra is a patent attorney from Hanover County and is running for elected office for the first time. He has a bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering from Virginia Tech and a law degree from George Mason University. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Sports, another rough outing for Tanner Roark as the Nats fall to the Cards 8-1 was the O's bullpen that fell apart last night. They lost to Tampa 6-4 in 10. Traffic and weather's up next on WMAL.
They're coming. The daily afternoon thunderstorms that signal summertime in Washington.
We're looking at rain and lots of it.
And before you know it, they'll knock out your power, double your commute time, and ruin your day at the beach.
Potential for flash flooding over the next 2 hours.
Be weather aware with Washington's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Rain amounts for about 1 to 2 inches per hour.
Stay ahead of the storm with the Weather Channel.
I'm meteorologist Ray Stajic from the Weather Channel.
Washington's Mall, WMAL.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even 3 U.S. presidents have Bull & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to bullandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's bullandbranch.com, Promo code SLEEP.
Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions, for a dry, healthy home. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to dryhome123.com. That's dryhome123.com.
Stuck in a timeshare? Get out at timeshareexitteam.com.
7:05 now, checking in with James Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Not sure how it was for you coming in this morning, Steve, but everything looks good right now. In fact, we've looked good for most of the morning. No accidents to report. We do still have this earlier crash that's been cleared now, but there is a tow truck on the right shoulder. Looks like it maybe didn't need to pick up the car because it's still there, but the car's gone. Chesapeake Bay Bridge, right side, eastbound side. Westbound Chesapeake Bay Bridge, two right lanes getting by. That's a work zone. They should have all that picked up before long. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Scattered storms this afternoon, highs around 90. Partly cloudy tonight, down in the mid-70s. Tomorrow looking mostly sunny, highs around 93. Right now 73 in Springfield, 74 in Bethesda. We're at 75 here in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
If you don't want ants inside, kill them outside with Amdro Ant Block Home Perimeter Ant Bait. Ants are attracted to Amdro because they think it's food. They carry it back to the nest and share it with the entire colony, including the queen. That's how Amdro kills the ants you see and the ones you don't, guaranteed. Look for Amdro Ant Block at your local lawn and garden retailer. Amdro Ant Block. Ants love it to death.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. And AM 630.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL and a happy 4th of July weekend. And John Gizzi joins us, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning.
President Trump, health care legislation. Want to get the very latest on where the legislation stands with the Republican legislators. And then I want to ask you what the president means by repeal it now, replace it later. But first off, what's the status with Mitch McConnell?
It's a lot like a thriller, a lot like some of the serials that would run on television, for such as Dynasty or Dallas, nearly a generation ago. One episode ends, and the members of Congress go back home to their districts, and the fate of the American Health Care Act, the Republican replacement for Obamacare, still hangs in limbo. Each time, we might as well say, stay tuned. Now, that said, narrowly, the American Health Care Act passed the House of Representatives on a partisan vote. In the Senate, if it passes, it will be along party line votes. And there, as Shakespeare would say, is the rub. Five Republican senators said they were not pleased with it. Liberals Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska said that the CBO figures, that's the Congressional Budget Office, said this would blow a hole in the deficit. On the other hand, conservatives, such as Senator Dean Heller of Nevada and Ted Cruz of Texas, agreed that it did not go far enough into an outright repeal of Obamacare. So the president, to use a phrase he uses about political opponents, choked. There was no vote in the Senate, and it is going to be put off until after Congress comes back from its 4th of July recess, and we will revisit this issue on July 10th. Until then, stay tuned.
So the president comes out and he says, repeal it now, replace it later. And panic sets in among some of the media people as to what happens to people's coverage. So give us a reality check on what he means by that.
I've been checking this to give you a very solid reality check. First, the idea of repealing the Affordable Care Act, known in common parlance as Obamacare, has been something Republicans advocated and voted on at least a score of times when they had control of Congress, but Barack Obama was at the other end of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. If you simply repealed it, you would achieve what so many Republicans have been voting on and talking about now for 7 years, getting Obamacare off the books and allowing some, if not all, of the 5.7 million Americans who had their original health care plans canceled to acquire those plans. As Secretary of Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price told me during the initial debate on the replacement, some of those plans are going to be coming back. That said, will people lose their health care suddenly overnight? The answer is absolutely not, because most people who have health care plans and have health insurance have already paid for them for the coming year. Like the plans or not, as costly as they might have been with the increased premiums, that people are stuck with them for another year. So there is plenty of time to look at this seriously and carefully and pass something different that is going to please all the Republicans in Congress, as well as the man who will eventually sign the bill, the president. This may be the surprise that Donald Trump was talking about, and it's something I might add that many Republicans, at least on the House side, wanted to do in the first place.
In another hotly contested battle in politics, let's get the latest on Donald Trump versus Morning Joe and Mika Brzezinski. John, was it the tweet that broke the camel's back?
Well, it all depends on who the camel is. Is it the president or is it the morning anchors of this program? I have a different take than other people. I am not going to judge the intelligence of Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, and I'm certainly not going to judge the ratings. I haven't seen the ratings of their program. But the fact is, let's assume for a moment that the president is right about that. Rather than give them attention and have this tweet heard around the world, debated on a popular English-speaking program in France ahead of the president's visit to Paris on Bastille Day to see President Macron, rather than have all these things, this president might just realize something. If he is correct about Morning Joe and his fiancé/co-host, then he should remember the advice of the very first person who predicted he was president. And this is something he told many people. Never get in an argument with someone who is not your equal intellectually or your superior intellectually. Never shout down, he used to say. That might be some wise advice for the president from the person who first said he would be president, Richard Nixon.
Okay, so you're at the White House the better part of the week. We've seen a lot more of Sarah Sanders, a lot less of Sean Spicer. Can you tell us why?
Let's put the cards on the table. This entire week, it was the Sarah Sanders show. Sean Spicer was with the president at all those times. We will see a lot more of it. Sean will become more of a traveling press secretary as he was in the campaign. And he'll be talking to reporters on Air Force One or after speeches by Donald Trump. Sarah Sanders will be the person in the briefing room who takes the questions from my colleagues and me. Now, what is the meaning of this? It's shifting responsibilities, but certainly not replacing anyone. As for Sarah Sanders, I would say this. I've watched her in action in the press room. She comes from a state that's produced strong women. Arkansas gave the nation one of the first women to be elected U.S. Senator and reelected U.S. Senator, Hattie Caraway. She's cut from that same cloth, tough and independent. And I know this from a lot of my colleagues who have come up against her and come out with a little scar tissue when they push too far. My guess is it will be the Sarah Show. I just want to see who plays her on Saturday Night Live.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with John about the upcoming G20 summit and also Kate's Law passed this week up on the Hill. You know, one thing about talking to John, he always has a nugget. There's always this fabulous nugget in there, like the fact that President Nixon and Mrs. Nixon wrote a letter to Donald Trump like years ago.
predicting he would be president. It was like back in 1987 that that letter was written, and there's a story about it if you search it out in the New York Daily News, but I never knew that. Time for a quick check of the traffic and weather, and then we continue on. We've got Cheryl Atkinson coming up, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and Mercedes Schlapp from the Fox News Channel.
First crash of the morning coming in on the Capitol Beltway. This is going to be on the inner loop, just past the Allentown Road Joint Base Andrews exit number 9. Still in the center of the road. They're working now to do a traffic break to get that moved over on the shoulder. But for now, you're going to have to straddle that to get around there. And it is causing a little bit of a delay through there. Just a couple of extra minutes, though. Light traffic this morning. Crash through Virginia on the Dulles Toll Road. This is going to be on the westbound side right around Reston Parkway, exit number 12. They're saying that's taking out a couple of right lanes. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For today, looking for clouds and a chance of afternoon thunderstorms. High temperature 90 degrees, 50-50 chance of rain. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high 93, 10% chance of precip. Monday, mostly sunny, high 94, very little chance of rain. Clouds on Tuesday and then scattered thunderstorms for Wednesday the 4th with a high of 87. Outside right now in D.C., we're at 78. We're heading to 90 this afternoon, and it's 7:16 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is 7:16. This is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and we continue our conversation with John Gizzi, White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax. So the president, as you mentioned, is headed off on some travel. He will be at the G20, then goes on to France. Headline saying that Angela Merkel vows G20 won't bow to Trump on climate change. What do you envision may happen?
Oh, I think there's going to be some strong language there. The agenda is not set, and that comes from two of the president's closest advisor, National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn and National Security Advisor General H.R. McMaster. But I think it's a foregone conclusion. The Chancellor Merkel and President Macron, at the very least, will bring up this topic and bring up the Paris Climate Change Accord and perhaps try to change the president's mind on a U.S. withdrawal. Trump's mind, however, is almost certain to stay decided on this one, and I think he will just turn to Macron, whom he gets a second round with on Bastille Day, and say, what about the U.S. renegotiating its role so it's not the only one cutting back carbon emissions? I think it'll be a pretty interesting discussion there.
John, when we see the coverage of the president's tweets as the lead story on cable news and on the evening newscasts, it somewhat overshadows actually what the president and the administration have accomplished during the week. Tell us about sanctuary cities and also Kate's Law.
Well, I think you said it all right there. Kate's Law is a new regulation that we had a briefing on at the White House that is going to ease the situation in which people who commit a crime in the U.S. and are not here legally are able to be deported. The head of ICE explained this to reporters very carefully. And Kate's Law, I might add, is named after a child who was murdered by people who should never have been in the country under legal standards.
All right, so John, all the newsies were at the airports on Thursday night for the implementation of the travel ban. Have we heard of any problems?
No, there have been no problems with it. And had the president not wasted his time on Twitter, he could have taken a victory lap after the law went into effect. Now, you referred to the G20 meeting. President Macron, Chancellor Merkel, and even people who are personally close to the president, such as Prime Minister May of Great Britain and Prime Minister Gentiloni of Italy, are having some doubts about this travel ban. It's not like anything they have in their country, and they do believe that nationals from Western Europe could even be caught up in this. We will hear a little bit about the travel ban when the president goes to the G20, but right now, no complaints so far.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Thank you, John, as always.
Always a pleasure. Stay cool this weekend, and a happy 4th, Happy birthday, America.
And, John, a happy 4th to you and Colleen. It's 7:20, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up next, fake news. Who's behind it and what's behind it? Cheryl Atkinson has written a bestseller on it, and we'll talk to her next.
What does Advance Auto Parts have to offer? Plenty. Like a rewards program called Speed Perks that gets you $20 off your next purchase when you spend $100 or more. What doesn't Advance Auto Parts have to offer? The recipe to your favorite dish from your favorite restaurant that's been closed for 5 years. So forget that gooey, double-stuffed lasagna and check out Advance Auto Parts rewards program Speed Perks and get $20 off your next purchase when you spend $100 or more. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. See an Advance team member or go to speedperks.com to sign up.
That's why all Ford buyers come to Ted Britt.
Shop us online at TedBritt.com.
Ted Britt Ford. Now you gotta get a Ford. Gotta get it at Ted Britt. Ted Britt Ford.
Fourth of July weekend on WMAL and the Saturday morning update. Great to have you with us and great to have Cheryl Atkinson join us this morning. And a happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you.
Full Measure is coming up tomorrow morning on ABC 7, 10 o'clock. Very interesting topic that is so much in the news these days, and it's about privacy. You know, we think a lot about our privacy online and Google and Facebook and these kinds of things, but what about the government side of our privacy?
Well, I call my cover story this week the surveillance state. We're looking at the government's actions as intel agencies have expanded their powers, often in secret, over the last couple of years in ways people never imagined and I think a lot of people would disapprove of. And I'm putting into perspective some recent revelations about our intel community capturing surveillance on members of Congress, supposedly incidentally, but were these surveillance efforts politically motivated perhaps? As well as the revealing of names of American citizens who have done nothing wrong but were captured incidentally in surveillance. When the government is doing this sort of thing, when there are political actors involved, I think it's a very potentially dangerous thing, and we're exploring all of that.
There's a story out this week that Susan Rice would be testifying about unmasking. That's taking it to a pretty high level of the administration as we look into this.
You know, I've heard people say as if they know, hey, it's perfectly natural that these political figures would have been looking and peeking at the intel and unmasking U.S. citizens' names and looking at political figures who are supposedly incidentally captured, listening in on their conversations. Well, I have sources who say it's not. It's not typical that this material should be very carefully guarded. I mean, it's controversial that it's even collected, but the fact that political figures like Susan Rice are apparently fairly routinely requesting to see the intel and know the names, and that the names are unmasked in ways they could be spread around and leaked, I think that's something that's very serious, and we address that in our story this week.
Well, you've got a fun story, and it's a good American story. You're interviewing a very popular and famous actor that has some very interesting aspects to his life.
Chuck Norris. I was there doing a story on his wife's injury with MRI die, believe it or not, a couple weeks ago that we aired. But while there, Chuck Norris, hey, why not interview him? He offered to give us a tour of his memorabilia in a warehouse in back of his Texas ranch. What a hoot. He is a storyteller, the nicest guy, and there are Chuck Norris facts throughout this piece that I'm pretty sure most people never heard of, even though he's been around so long and they've heard a lot about him. So it's a fun piece. I don't think you want to miss.
Now, we've been talking a lot about your book, The Smear. It was released this week. Congratulations, some number ones there on Amazon so far.
Yes, thank you so much. Doing well and people getting great feedback. I think it's very timely with all the allegations about fake news and propaganda. That's exactly what we're addressing in the book.
Well, exactly. I mean, we see fake news plastered on TV screens throughout the day on cable news. And the book is called The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. If somebody has not caught some of our segments over the past few months, give us a couple of really prime examples of fake news and how it's done.
If you see a common word or narrative across social media, news stations, I mean, really, it should be more diverse than that. When you start seeing the same things parroted over and over, you can suspect that perhaps that narrative has been planted by these political operators that people don't know much about, and they're corporate operators too, from these giant firms in Washington, D.C. They're PR firms and think tanks and law firms and LLCs, and they exist to do this in a way that you don't know, secretly, to make it look organic, that the news came up with it, or that these are organic grassroots efforts when they're not at all. So one example might be when all of a sudden it's like a missive goes out to call Donald Trump's acceptance speech at the Republican convention dark. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could use to describe it, and there's a lot of synonyms for dark, but everybody used dark, and I gathered all those together. But I support this idea of narratives and people directing the news with a chapter that talks about transactional journalism. We have emails from FOIA requests and WikiLeaks that actually show Washington journalists colluding with the figures they're reporting on, agreeing not to report certain things or to say certain things in their reports. They're letting political figures dictate the timing of when something must be reported and how it should be said in ways that I think are highly unethical. I mean, it's not supposed to happen, at least in my view, in our industry. And the proof is there in black and white. It explains a lot about the narratives that go on, I think.
Okay, now that's the side of it that's the political operatives and sort of the underground side of things. But let's take CNN. CNN was forced to apologize after retracting a story on its website that said a Russian bank linked to a close ally of President Trump was under Senate investigation, and it was not a true story. So here you've got CNN reporting something that's just not true. Tell us a little bit about the sources and these unidentified sources and kind of how this all happens to somebody like CNN.
I traced the past couple of decades that got us to a space where these political operators and corporate operatives, and I call them smear operators, have figured out how to get their nose under the tent in news organizations. Not only do they train their disciples to go out and appear as pundits so that they can spin people nonstop with propaganda on the news, but they've also been invited into newsrooms and hired in editorial positions as producers and writers, reporters and anchors. So now I argue there's, in some cases, a little meaningful difference between those that we're supposed to report on and us. We are kind of one and the same. Again, they figured out and perfected ways to get their narratives across and to sort of infiltrate the news, and we've allowed them. So I think that partly explains the phenomenon of how this could happen at formerly such well-respected organizations, how the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN are making such extraordinary errors and reporting mistakes that wouldn't be allowed in a journalism college, let alone by experienced reporters at high-level organizations, often with impunity. And I outlined some of those examples in the book. The CNN case is one fairly rare example in the past 2 years where when something turned out to be entirely false, someone was actually held accountable. More often than not, nothing seems to happen, and the reporters go on to live another day and report another incorrect story.
It's called The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. Cheryl Atkinson's new book is out. Get it at Amazon or wherever you pick up your favorite books. And again, congratulations, Cheryl. And I'm just so happy to see that you are taking on this topic. And, you know, with your experience and credibility, it's a great insight into what's going on that has so much influence over all of us and over the country.
Well, one little quote before we go. One of the smear operators I interviewed for the book actually said, "Nothing you see in your everyday life, whether it's on social media or news, is by accident. Every image and narrative is put there for a reason by somebody who wants you to think that and has often paid a lot of money to try to make you think it." So think about that for a while over 4th of July.
Cheryl, thanks so much.
Take care.
Pretty scary stuff. And it's 7:29, Saturday morning update on WMAL. News next with Steve Burns. Then we're back. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. Is victory near in Mosul for the U.S.-backed forces? What about North Korea? The U.S. threatening Syria? Just a couple of things we'll talk with Tony about. Also, Mercedes Schlapp is on the way from the Fox News Channel. And among the topics, we'll talk Medicaid and what happens with the health care legislation. All coming up, Saturday morning update.
If you simply take your Social Security benefits at face value, you could trigger an avalanche of taxes that you never expected, forfeit additional benefits that are rightfully yours, and even pay higher Medicare premiums. Ultimately, it could cost you thousands of dollars every single year. But you could avoid this worst-case scenario with a complimentary, customized Social Security analysis from Cornerstone Wealth Management Group right here in the D.C. area. These guys know Social Security. Their analysis is quick and it's easy, and it won't cost you a dime.
If you've saved $100,000 for retirement, call to get your customized analysis right now at 202-759-2323. This is serious money. Thousands of dollars are at stake. So call 202-759-2323. That's 202-759-2323. Advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. Two new initiatives are starting up today in Maryland aimed at fighting the opioid crisis. Doctors are now being encouraged to consider non-opioids as first-line treatments of patients with chronic pain. It's also urging providers to conduct thorough screenings before prescribing opioids and to refer patients to treatment when they have a substance abuse disorder. Medicaid-eligible adults may also now have Medicaid pay for up to two non-consecutive 30-day treatment spans. Nevada this morning is now the fifth state in the country with stores selling marijuana for recreational purposes. People began buying pot early this morning, just months after voters approved legalization in November. It's the fastest turnaround from the ballot box to retail sales in the nation. Those 21 and older with a valid ID can buy up to an ounce. The millions of tourists who visit Las Vegas and other Nevada cities every year are expected to make nearly two of every three pot purchases. You need Wi-Fi? Facebook cannot tell you where to find it.
Saying it's especially useful in areas where cellular data is scarce, the company says you can find Wi-Fi with an iPhone or Android device at places where the business has shared with Facebook that it has public internet access. You can't be quite as stealthy with your whereabouts, as the new tool requires you to enable location history, which regularly adds your location in the Facebook activity log, even if you're not using the app. And all this comes with a cautionary note that connecting to public internet can make you more vulnerable to hackers. I'm Jan Johnson.
Sports, another rough outing for Tanner Roark as the Nats fall to the Cards 8-1, and it was the O's bullpen that fell apart last night. They lost to Tampa 6-4-10. We'll check on traffic and weather up next.
Traffic and weather together, first on the Fives. Washington mornings on the Mall, weekdays 5 till 9.
On 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Washington's Mall.
WMAL.
Where Washington comes to talk.
Summer is here, and if your house is uncomfortable or your first cooling bill of the season was through the roof, Thompson Creek Windows can help. Hi, this is Mary Walter with great news. If you make an appointment with Thompson Creek Window Company for this Saturday, July 1st through Monday, July 3rd, you'll save an additional 5% off on top of their incredible summer window sale. Plus, no money down and no interest until 2019. Thompson Creek is the name you know, and now is the time to take advantage of amazing savings. Get an additional 5% off on top of their incredible summer window sale, plus no money down and no interest until 2019. But you must make an appointment with Thompson Creek Window Company for this Saturday, July 1st through Monday, July 3rd. Visit thompsoncreek.com for details and call 855-57-CREEK to make your appointment for this weekend. That's 855-57-CREEK, 855-57-CREEK.
Home, sweet home, sweet Thompson Creek.
At 7:33, James Stanley gets us the latest from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Steve, this crash is still here on the Beltway Inner Loop. It's just past the Allentown Road Joint Base Andrews Exit 9. Still in the center of the road, too. They're having a tough time getting that moved over to the shoulder. It's not really backed up because of the light traffic that we have this morning on this holiday weekend, but it could get that way, so just give yourself a couple of extra minutes to get through and watch for the brake lights. We're hearing eastbound on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. The traffic lights have gone dark in all directions, so watch for that, too. Be sure and treat it as a four-way stop. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Scattered storms this afternoon, highs right around 90. Partly cloudy tonight, down to the mid-70s. Tomorrow looking mostly sunny, highs around 93. Right now 75 in Vienna, 73 in Bowie. We're at 78 here in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Are you prepared for 20 to 30 years without a paycheck? Listen to the Savvy Investor Radio, Sunday mornings at 6 with Mike Kinnett of ProStatus Financial Advisors Group. As a financial planner with a master's in taxation and an estate planning attorney, Mike translates today's complex retirement issues into easy-to-understand steps.
Our goal every week is to discuss strategies to help you grow, keep, and distribute your wealth in the most tax-efficient manner possible.
The Savvy Investor Radio and SavvyInvestorTV.com, Sunday mornings at 6 here on WMAL.
This weekend, the SGK Gun Show returns to the Fredericksburg Expo Center at Central Park. Hunters, collectors, sportsmen, visit the Fredericksburg Expo Center for SGK's biggest show ever. Tickets available online at guns-knives.com or at the door. That's the Fredericksburg Gun Show this weekend.
Tired of making resolutions? How about making a decision to get your affairs shaped up and your legal house in order? I'm Attorney Mike Collins, the guy who sends you those invitations to my estate planning seminar. I'll teach you how to save taxes, avoid probate, protect your heirs from lawsuits, bankruptcy, even the divorce court. Keep your money and your family with our innovative reservoir trust. Watch the mail for your invitation. Tuition's free when you register online at MikeCollins.com. That's MikeCollins.com.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2000.
If you don't want ants inside, kill them outside with Amdro Ant Block Home Perimeter Ant Bait. Ants are attracted to Amdro because they think it's food. They carry it back to the nest and share it with the entire colony, including the queen. That's how Amdro kills the ants you see and the ones you don't, guaranteed. Look for Amdro Ant Block at your local lawn and garden retailer. Amdro Ant Block. Ants love it to death.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
It is 7:37 on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Great to have you with us on this 4th of July holiday weekend. Mercedes Schlapp coming up. Right now, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us. He is a CIA-trained intel operative, Vice President, Strategic Initiatives and Operations at the London Center for Policy Research. And, Tony, just saw you on Fox a half hour, 45 minutes ago, but I couldn't hear you. When you're in the middle of a live show, you can't hear the audio. But
I know it's a shame you can't do like all these things at once. You can't like just kind of put yourself in a trance and be in two different places.
Exactly. But, yeah. Called multitasking. All right. Two big stories breaking overnight in terms of fake news. And we're just talking to Cheryl Atkinson about sources and news and where this fake news comes from and things. Quickly, there was an Associated Press clarification of a false claim that it's been running in stories about President Trump in Russia. They conceded it's not the case that 17 intel agencies agreed on the hacking narrative, and the New York Times issuing a correction in a story that they had issued out on President Trump. So
right.
Tell us about the stories and the impact of it, and also the notion that once it gets reported by one agency, it spreads and everybody reports it.
Well, that's correct, and let's hit this three different ways. First, they're still not telling the complete truth, Rick. This is a good beginning, but still, they're not there. I mean, the three intelligence agencies and the BNIs, really four entities, still are not telling the truth. So they've done well to correct the fact that there was never unanimity in the community, which is huge. I mean, this underscores President Trump's contention that it's all fake news, and obviously he did this with CNN last week, too. Secondly, regarding the fact that this happened at all, it indicated to me and should be frightening to every citizen that you have members of the intelligence community working with the mainstream media to manipulate perception. This was weaponized information. This information was put out, seeded, if you will. It was not true, but it was put out as if it was true. It was a leak, and it was leaked out by someone. I'm, again, going on record saying it was John Brennan, Ben Rhodes, or Susan Rice, someone at that level. And run with. And then to your third point, once this is out there, it's available for building a political narrative. And in this case, It was a political narrative designed to undermine President Trump both before the election and after the election, and one that was not only dishonest, it's dangerous, because now you've weakened the confidence in the entire intelligence community. So the very things John Brennan was saying right after the election was completed, that President Trump attacking the intelligence community was undermining the election. No, he was not. President Trump was not attacking the intelligence community. He was attacking John Brennan and the other political appointees at the top of the intelligence community, manipulating the information. And so now we see some level of vindication, but more needs to be done.
Yeah, indeed, more needs to be done. And there are some other stories I wanted to catch up with you on,
sure,
because we haven't gotten a lot of coverage this week of what I think is a very important story, and that's what's going on in Mosul. But
yeah,
it's overshadowed by, you know, I mean, we got troops in the Mideast who are working real hard, but we're more worried about a Trump Twitter war with Joe and Mika.
Right. Completely insane. There's critical issues all around us, and yes, we're focused more on Mika's issues with Mr. Trump's wife. Look, the Mosul campaign has been going slow but steady. I have to be honest, the Pentagon predicted it would be done in January of this year. It's not. Here we are, summer. So it's been much more arduous than they predicted. But we are getting close. And yes, as you point out, Rick, we have had brave men and women in combat, essentially. And, you know, I think this president does call it what it is. It is combat, working directly with our Iraqi allies, both the Iraqi federal forces as well as the Peshmerga, the Kurds, and we are finally making progress. We're getting close. But now the question becomes, Nick, now what? What do we do? What do we do to help Iraq? Do we accept the partition of the Sunni Shia and Peshmerga areas, the Kurdish area? Or do and then what do we do about Syria? There's no clear end state in Syria. So these are the bigger issues we should be debating as a nation. What do we do? What investment of manpower, of blood and treasure should we make?
So as ISIS loses ground and actual turf, they go back into their more underground strategy. Tell us what's next with ISIS as they lose the caliphate.
Well, they've got to go somewhere, as you point out. We do believe that their leadership is already making plans to move to different regions, Africa, a number of places. I was talking to someone the other day about South Africa, believe it or not. There's indications that they may try to move all the way south to Johannesburg in that area. They're moving to Central Africa. They're moving into places like Pakistan and Afghanistan, as well as Libya and the Northern Africa, Mali, for example. So we now are obligated to try to stay ahead of them. And this is no small task. President Trump has authorized the Pentagon to be a lot more aggressive than President Obama ever was. And I used to get complaints from the Pentagon, from the senior leadership there, that President Obama would not give them the correct and proper authority to go after ISIS globally. So I think the leadership of the Pentagon now have that authority. They have to use it and try to get ahead of ISIS wherever they scramble to once they lose their physical space in Iraq and Syria.
You mentioned the contrast between President Trump and President Obama in being aggressive. And with all of the information that now seems to be coming out about how much the Obama administration knew about the Russian meddling, and the president's response was, "I told Putin to stop it." Are you kidding me? Now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is indicative of the, the narcissism of President Obama. President Obama never seemed to actually grasp that he wasn't as important to other world leaders as he thought he was. And I think when you go to a thug like Putin, and again, let me be clear for the audience here, I'm no fan of Putin. Putin is a thug. But when you take someone like President Obama, who really does believe his own press and believes somehow saying harsh words to Putin is somehow going to back him off is completely insane. I don't believe President Obama. Talk about someone who was not grasping the reality which they're facing. As you know, right now, the Democrats are trying to get Mr. Trump on this 25th Amendment thing. President Obama was not in control of his own understanding of reality, and that's why we face what we do now. That scolding of Putin did absolutely nothing except embolden Putin to do more against us.
Exactly. Now, in contrast, again, look at Syria.
Yeah.
President Obama draws a red line, never does anything about it. President Trump launched a missile attack when there was a chemical attack. There was apparently information
suggesting that there may be another Syrian attack using chemical weapons, and the White House issued a statement late Monday and said that Syria would pay a heavy price if it conducted another chemical weapons attack. It's just a completely different approach. And would you say it's effective at this point? I know it's early, but is it having a positive effect to be tougher and stronger on these guys?
Well, it's clearly reinsinuating American leadership onto the world stage. I mean, this is where I think even my Democrat friends agreed with me that you cannot have a president say one thing and do nothing when faced with the reality of his comments. And so President Trump has made it very clear there's certain things that are not acceptable. And secondly, he's willing to use military force to undermine and underscore and let me say this clearly, enforce his policy. This is something the previous administration never did. So clearly now that's a big differentiation about the two men. Will it be effective? Look, Rick, I think it's going to be effective, but I think we need to sit back and probably watch another 6 months or so to give the president 4 years to basically make that assessment. But I do believe so. Yeah, it's working. I hope it will continue to work as we see this president settle into the office.
And finally, I wanted to get your opinion. When a world leader comes in, like the South Korean president Moon Jae-in in this week with President Trump, and we've seen the president strong on national security with other leaders, global leaders. When somebody comes in and meets with the president now, do they go, this guy means business, and, you know, maybe we should work together with him compared to what they saw from the Obama administration? And we saw that, you know, President Trump is working with the South Korean president to try and put some intense pressure on North Korea, as he did with the Chinese president.
Right, precisely. To your point, no, the Saudis have treated President Trump differently already based on the fact that they've recognized the rhetoric about him does not meet the reality of the man. And I think the South Korean president probably faced something very similar. Rick, if you listen to the mainstream media, you would gain a certain impression of the president. I think if you actually study him and have contact with him, it's a completely different view. The South Korean president has put out some positions which are directly contradictory to President Trump. With that said, I think the South Korean president recognizes our relationship and working against the North Koreans is very important. And some of the more sticky issues that were feared to come up, the issue regarding the THAAD missile system we've talked about before, those apparently didn't come up or were not as contentious as expected. So the good news is, I think, that the South Korean president recognizes that our relationship is hugely important. And, yeah, I think they're all recognizing that Mr. Trump may not necessarily agree with them, but he can be a good friend and partner in defense issues, and I think that's what the South Korean president learned.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, London Center for Policy Research. Tony, as always, thanks so much. Have a great 4th of July holiday.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Take care.
You betcha. 7:47, Saturday morning update, WMAL. Up next, we'll talk with Mercedes Schlapp from the Fox News Channel. And among the topics on the agenda this morning, Medicaid and the future of it as the health care legislation unfolds.
Rick, with it being a holiday weekend, not a whole lot going on. We still have that issue on the Beltway Interloop. This is just past the Allentown Road Joint Base Andrews Exit 9. They finally got everything moved over to the shoulder. Maybe that far right lane, the slow lane, is still taken out from that. But the left lanes look like they're moving okay through that stretch, and that's good news after tying up the whole roadway for a while. You've got traffic lights out on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge eastbound side. It's to be treated as a four-way stop as you get down there. That's a work zone on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge westbound with two right lanes getting by. The left lane still taken out this morning. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We are looking for afternoon thunderstorms today. High temperature 90 degrees, 50-50 chance of rain. Sunshine tomorrow, just a 10% chance of rain. High temperatures 93 on Sunday. Sunny on Monday with a high 94. Some thunderstorms in the forecast for Wednesday with a high of 87 on the 4th. Right now in Washington, we're at 79 degrees, and we're heading up to 90 this afternoon. 7:48, Saturday morning update.
At Advance Auto Parts, you can find the knowledge and parts you need to get the job done. Think of us as that friendly neighbor who genuinely cares about you and is always willing to lend a helping hand without expecting anything in return. Unlike Jerry, who always has something come up and then wonders why he isn't invited over on Sundays. You know what you did, Jerry? Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road.
This is such a blow to investors. Do it right now. Bring your stocks all around the world. We're waiting for the market to open in a couple.
It takes courage to face up to things like volatile markets, long-term concerns, and Wall Street money traps. But if you're worried, unsure, unhappy, or losing sleep about your money, give us a call today at 1-800-563-7030. Again, that's 1-800-563-7030.
I'm Joe Don Rooney from Rascal Flatts, and I absolutely love being a part of this band. It's an honor and really a lot of fun. Sometimes, though, you can feel the pressure to perform night after night. It can get stressful. Thankfully, I know my bandmates will look out for me, and I'll look out for them. When you see a friend feeling the effects of stress, let them know you're there for them. Sometimes that's all they need. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I'm the center of attention at summer barbecues. In 96, I made some of the tastiest s'mores. And in 09, it was me, your backyard fire pit, that accidentally started a wildfire when a summer breeze carried one of my embers into some dry brush.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Getting your child home safely.
Cap your views together three times.
Is just a click away.
There's no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travels.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Blindness or physical handicaps can make reading impossible. Now celebrating 80 years, the Library of Congress's Talking Book and Braille program delivers free books to those in need, from children to seniors and veterans. To learn more, call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Saturday Morning Update, WMAL 751. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Fox News contributor Mercedes Schlapp, also columnist at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Thursday evening, the news dominated one of the evening newscasts. First 6.5 minutes lead story is the Trump tweet about Morning Joe and Mika. Of course, the social media world, Twitter world, is ablaze, and it keeps going, and all of the liberal pundits are just jumping on this thing. Now, I'm reading the Washington Post, and the paragraph pops up that says, Fox News contributor Mercedes Schlapp pushed back against Charles Krauthammer, saying she didn't support the tweets but understood Trump's desire to defend himself.
Yes,
You know him. You know how he operates. Tell us about Donald Trump.
Well, you know, when I first saw the tweet on Mika, it was the typical shock value, right? It's the fact that I was like, I cannot believe he sent out that tweet, you know, about her, especially about the facelift as part of it. And then I started going back to what Mika and Joe have been saying every single day, pretty much since the president has been sworn in. And it has been one negative comment, one almost dishonest comment after another. It goes from he's mentally ill, bringing in a psychologist to talk about the president's mental state of mind, from the fact that the president it's a fake presidency. It's constant negativity, constant just this emotional babble coming from Mika and Joe on the president. And I think I could understand why the president at one point just said, enough. Like, I'm not taking this anymore. Uh-huh. Like, there's no real coverage on what is happening on things that the president is getting done. It's all about the president's psychological state of mind. And so I do think that classic Donald Trump, he decided, I'm not going to stay quiet, but I'm going to fight back. And I have to tell you something. I have family members here with us from Kansas. They're not from the Acela corridor from Washington to New York. And they're like, we don't care. We don't care about Mika and whether she had a facelift or not or what the president said about Mika. What we care about is the president doing what he can? Is he fighting for for us out there? Is he fighting for the forgotten man and woman? Is he trying to bring jobs back to the United States? Is he working on trade deals to see where we can bring back jobs to these communities that have been hit hard? That's what they care about. They care about health care. They don't care about the fact whether Mika's having this emotional breakdown and then has to write an op-ed describing her encounter with the president in Mar-a-Lago. Guess what, Rick? They don't care. The American people don't care. And so it's interesting because I started off when I saw the tweet and I went on air and I said, you know what, the president's comment was inappropriate. Definitely should have not done it. I wish he wouldn't have because it's a distraction from his agenda. I totally all agree with that. But by the end of the week, I was infuriated with the fact that, yes, Mika and Joe have put themselves in this position where they are where basically for them it has been all about just basically being critical and constantly critical about this president. There has never been a sense of, well, you know, maybe the president has done good in this area on Gorsuch or on you know, moving forward in terms of meeting with business leaders or working with none of that. It is always an emotional therapy session on Morning Joe to describe how horrific President Trump is. And he's had it. And guess what? The American people have had it, too. I've had it. I'm done. So it's very much of a breakup with Mika and Joe in this case. I have to say it's interesting because I was talking to Matt about this, my husband, and he said to me, you know what, these were individuals who actually got along. Like, they had a good relationship. He's like, something must have happened that triggered them to have kind of a breakup. And unfortunately, this breakup has led to this soap opera that we're seeing play out on social media and on the national media, and it gave the liberal media an opportunity to say how horrific Donald Trump is and use all the great words that they love to use on Donald Trump, which is sexist and misogynist and so on and so forth. And that is what, for us, those of us who understand Donald Trump, recognize that that's the frustrating part when he does do tweets like these.
And I want to turn to your op-ed in the Times about Medicaid, but just one comment on Trump. And I think people need to understand, he's known people like Morning Joe and Mika for years. These are people who, you know, not necessarily them, but anybody that's in his circle in New York or just his friends, I'm sure they've all come to him for things. He's probably done very gracious things for them over the years. And all of a sudden, all these people have turned on him. And that's, yes, that's got to drive you nuts if people you've known for 15, 20 years, all of a sudden, they've just done a 180 on you.
In a strange way, I really do hope they make up at some point, because I think it's silly. I think it's silly coming on both sides. You know, and I feel that there is this moment in time where you wish that, and I know that the Morning Joe folks have decided that it's going to be an opinion show, and that's where they want to go with this show. But it was so interesting when they had this love fest with Donald Trump, and, you know, they were hanging out in their pajamas, like, talking to the guy, and then all of a sudden, it's this complete, absolute hatred towards the president. What is the president supposed to do? Be quiet? Like, that's the problem. Conservatives for so long have stayed quiet and allowed liberals to dictate the narrative in the media. And I think there comes a point that it's enough. No more being quiet. You have to fight back. And that's what the president does. And I think so many, and that's why his voters get it. They understand, because they're tired of people that, you know, whenever they talk about people who voted for Donald Trump being crazy or deplorable, it is reflective. It's basically saying, well, our president, he's going to fight back, and he's not going to just, you know, sit there and just take it.
We've got about 90 seconds left. I want to touch on your opinion piece on Medicaid. In 90 seconds, what do we need to know about Medicaid that we're not hearing from the Democrats and the mainstream media when it comes to the health care legislation?
Well, my piece this week is on Medicaid. I think it's very important to understand that there are those moderate Republicans that want to ensure that they're able to have this Medicaid expansion and the funds going to Medicaid expansion. What worries me is everyone keeps talking about, the Democrats talk about Medicaid like it's the golden standard, the solution for healthcare, for our healthcare system. And understanding that Medicaid was originally created for poor women, children, and disabled. Obama expanded that under Obamacare for able-bodied working men and women. This is not the program that we want to have American women and men on. It is a government-run program. We always know what that signifies, which means that it's not going to be the best way for this to be handled. What needs to happen is that what we're seeing in these bills, which is you're slowing the growth of Medicaid. You're going to end up with over 80 million Americans on Medicaid if we go down this path. Instead, what we need to do is try to figure out a way where you have your private insurance affordable so that more individuals can buy private insurance. It's a better way to do it. We don't need more government in what our healthcare system is. But see, you have to remember that for the Democrats, Medicaid represents to them their avenue, their way into getting into the single-payer system. That is where they want to go, and Republicans have a moment right now to stop that.
Mercedes Schlapp, Fox News contributor. Check out her opinion piece at the Washington Times on Medicaid. You have a wonderful 4th of July holiday.
You too. Happy 4th.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
News next with Steve Burns, then Garden Sense. Thanks for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington. 105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk.